Would like to title the message this morning, Neglect Not. I'd like to read a passage in the Old Testament in the book of Proverbs, chapter 24, beginning with verse 30. If you have your Bible, I invite you to turn with us to Proverbs chapter 24, beginning with verse 30. The writer says, I went by the field of the slothful, and by the vineyard of the man void of understanding. And lo, it was grown over with thorns, and nettles had covered the face thereof, and the stone wall thereof was broken down. Then I saw and considered it well. I looked upon it and received instruction. Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep, so shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth, and that want as an armed man. First of all, note in verses 30 and 31, he makes an observation. Here's a man that passes by a field. No doubt at one time this wall was standing erect and things were intact. But he passed by the field and he noted that the field was grown over with nettles and that the wall thereof was broken down. After he made the observation in verse 32, he makes an interpretation. He says, then I saw and considered it well. I looked upon it and received instruction. Sometimes in life we don't always get the message, do we? But here the wise man is using some very simple language to make great, profound truths understood to us. He said he saw the wall broken down. He saw that the field was covered with nettles. And then he said the interpretation was a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep, so shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth. I don't know about you, but sometimes it's hard for me to keep a balance in life. We're all very busy, and there's so many, many things to do. Sometimes I look at all the responsibilities of life, and I think, I just can't get it all done. And sometimes when I think I've got something done, then I look around and I've left 10 other things undone. And the truth is, we'll never get it all just right. Several months ago, we had guests coming, and I enjoyed doing yard work, but I had worked for several days getting our yard in good shape. When I finished, there wasn't a leaf on the ground. The grass in the front yard was 2.5 inches long. The grass in the backyard was 2 inches. Everything, to my estimation, was just right. When I finished the last work on the yard, I felt like I had it together. I came in, I thought it's done. It looks great. I'm ready for the guest. Well, that night, we had a storm. In fact, two of our Bradford pear trees were split in two. There were limbs all over the yard, leaves everywhere. I looked out the next morning and I thought, everything that was in place is out of place. But I learned a lesson from it. Life is made up of priorities, and maintaining, keeping a balance in life. And it's so important that we not neglect the most important things in life. The Bible says very clearly that we're to put God's kingdom first. In the book of Matthew, he says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God." Did you know he did not say, "Seek ye only the kingdom of God"? We all have other responsibilities. But see, there is a priority. We are to prioritize our life. He says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things shall be added unto you." There's so many times in life we can neglect those things that we should spend more time in taking care of. Notice with me a number of passages. Notice with me in the New Testament concerning the ministry to begin with. In the book of 1 Timothy chapter 4, the Apostle Paul is speaking to the young minister Timothy. And Paul says to this young minister not to neglect the gift that is given unto him. In 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 14, Paul says, "Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy, with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery." Verse 15, "Meditate upon these things, give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all." Now, this morning, every one of us are to take heed to the study of God's Word. Ever been a time in your life when you neglected the Word of God? My friends, this morning, we all need to realize that we are to spend time in the Word of God. Certainly, ministers are. There have been times in my life when I've neglected one part of the ministry for the other. Sometimes when I have all of my pastoral work done, I haven't studied as I should. Sometimes when I have done the studying that I want to do and should do, there are other things that are left undone. Sometimes when I feel like that I have my ministry intact, then I think about the things at home and I feel like that I have neglected some of those responsibilities. See, it's so important that every one of us prioritize our lives and make sure that we don't neglect the most important things, because the truth is, a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands, and so shall thy poverty come. But you know, God is merciful. I look back in my ministry, I can remember a time when I was so busy about other pursuits. There was a time when there was a great deal of sickness in my own family that I was ashamed of how little time that I was spending in the study of God's Word. And I felt like that every time I got up to preach, that I really had not studied as I should. Now, to be quite honest with you this morning, generally, when I can preach the best is when I have spent the right time in study and prayer and preparation to stand before God's people. But during that period of time, something happened that was quite unique. I felt all type of guilt. I felt like that I had not done what I wanted to do and should have done, and that was right. But did you know I had several people during that period of time that came up to me and said to me, "Brother Kenneth, you're preaching better now than you've ever preached." Now, was I to take that to say, well, I preach better when I don't study? No. But it let me know once again that God was in charge. Did you know today that ministers have a responsibility to study and to pray, but also you do. You have a responsibility to study and to pray. And that goes for the youngest to the oldest member in the congregation. Did you know that the Apostle Paul was a man that felt the need of God's blessing? Notice with me in another passage found in the book of 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. The Apostle Paul was a man that asked the church to pray for him. Now, I know today that as a pastor, and I know that your good pastor prays for you. The Apostle Paul prayed for those that he ministered to. But he says in this chapter, in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, he says, "Finally, brethren, pray for us, that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified, even as it is with you, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith." He says, pray for us. He says, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified. What does that mean? Paul wanted the word of God to have great success. My friends, today, it's such a great blessing as I look out at this congregation and how that you respond to the gospel and how you love the gospel, how it cheers your soul. Don't you know it's a great blessing to us? Will it not be a great blessing to others? Paul says, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified. Paul said time and time again how much he desired for God's people to respond to the preaching of the gospel. One of the greatest evidences that one is an elect of God is when the gospel comes not only in word, but also in power. Paul says in the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, he says, "Knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God." Paul didn't apologize for the glorious doctrine of election. He says, "Knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God." How did Paul know that they were the elect of God? He says, "For our gospel came unto you not only in word, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance." And then later in that same chapter, he says, "Seeing how that you have turned to God from idols to serve the true and living God." My friends, today I believe there can be a revival. God is the one that can send that revival. But it takes us as ministers, it takes the church praying to God that he would bless his word in this very day in which we live. Paul said, pray for us. Pray for the word of God. Notice another passage where Paul uses the word neglect not. Notice with me in the book of 2 Peter chapter 1. The Apostle Paul says concerning the preaching of the gospel. He says in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 12, he says, "Wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them and be established in the present truth." Paul said, "I won't be negligent to put you in remembrance." Did you know most of the time that we stand before a congregation, we're not bringing something new? I hope this weekend that I've not preached anything that Brother John doesn't preach. So we come stirring up your minds by way of remembrance. Now, there are times that we are to stand in defense of the gospel. But by and large, most of the time when I stand before people, I'm not standing in defense of the gospel. I am confirming the gospel. Paul said in the book of Philippians, I am set for the defense and for the confirmation of the gospel. Here, Peter is saying that very truth. He is saying in this chapter the importance of God's word, just like the Apostle Paul did. See, our foundation this morning is God's word. This morning, if I've come to Camp Creek Church just to preach how I feel or what I think, that doesn't mean very much. But see, I come preaching the word of God, and God's word is the foundation. Peter says in this same chapter, he says, wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though you know them, and be established in the present truth. Yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance. He says, as long as I am in this body. The Apostle Paul sounded the same note when he said to the church at Ephesus that he had not shunned to declare unto them the whole counsel of God. Did you know there are times when I stand up and preach, and there are some messages that I enjoy preaching better than others. And I know there are some messages that you all enjoy listening to better than others. Sometimes I may preach a very practical message, and I may even sometimes get frowns, and people say, oh, I don't like that. That's too hard to do. But see, there's something on my end after I preach that, the blood is off of my shoulder, and it's upon you. But see, as a minister, if I do not stand upon the walls of Zion and warn God's people, and the people then do not get the message, then that blood is upon me, because as a pastor, as a minister, I have failed to fulfill my responsibility. My friends, today we have a responsibility as a pastor, as ministers, but you have a responsibility in hearing God's word and making an application of it. I had a member in our church that got quite sick several years ago and had to have some surgery. He was an older brother. I went over to see him in the hospital, and he was giving the nurses a hard time. I mean, he was very cantankerous, and, you know, not all old people are sweet. I used to think all old people were sweet and loving, but that's not the case. But this brother was giving the nurses a very difficult time. Well, I had just stepped into the hospital room, and he could see me, and she was trying to take his vital signs. And he said to her, I will not let you do that unless my pastor tells me to. I said, Brother Jones, I said, let this nice lady take your vital signs. He said, okay. She looked at me like I had some special power. I said, believe me, ma'am, he doesn't listen to my preaching and take heed to it like that. Did you know that it's one thing to come to God's house? You can go to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. And sometimes I've had people to say, I enjoyed the message. But sometimes if you were to ask them, what did the preacher preach on? They could not tell you other than they enjoyed the message. Now, I love to go to God's house, and you have that warm spirit, and you feel the presence of God. And that's when the gospel comes, not only in word, but also in power, and in the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance. I see people respond to the gospel that are very young, and you know that God is working in their hearts. Sometimes I go to a nursing home. I preach at a nursing home every fourth Sunday afternoon. And many times I look at some of those people and I think they really no longer have the cognitive abilities to really understand. But I see them for that point, for that moment, rejoicing in the things of God. It reminds me that even though the outward man perishes, the inward man is renewed day by day. But did you know in the house of God, when we come in God's house, we don't check our minds at the door. We come in and we listen to God's word, and not only do we listen, but we're to take heed and we're to put in shoe leather, we're to put in practice what we've heard from the word of God. And sometimes that's very difficult. It is for me. Sometimes on Monday I go through different trials and troubles, and God is testing me whether I really believed on Sunday what I preached. It's taking heed to God's word. God's word is very, very practical. You know, how about in today when you think about marriage? I love weddings. I had a couple in our community to come to me recently and want me to perform their wedding ceremony next March. And I'm looking forward to that. It's a joyful time. But you know, trying to pastor for over 20 years now, I've seen the reality of how many times people do not really listen to premarital counseling. But yet they think they are listening. Sometimes I'll have a couple to come in and they'll sit there, and I think they've actually studied to give me all the right answers, because everything I bring up, they know what to say. And they're looking, you know, really cheerful, and they're thinking, we'll never have any difficulties, we'll never have any problems. And, you know, why are you telling us all of this? Why are you talking about how to use God's word in resolving the difficulties in marriage? Well, see, I know this, that anytime you put two sinners under the same roof, you're going to have difficulties. No two people are going to agree on everything unless only one person's doing the thinking. Now, I'll have to say today, when my wife and I married, we agreed on 98% of all things. We've been married several years. We agree now probably about on 95% of all things. But you have to work at it, right? Today, a marriage, you know how most marriages get in difficulty? It's little by little. That's right. It's a little neglect here, a little neglect there. It's little by little. It's taking one another for granted. It's getting so busy in life that you don't spend time one with another. Sometimes you can get so busy with the responsibilities of life, even the good things, even in the ministry. Did you know today I love my work? Several years ago when Jonathan was about in the fifth grade, I was on a field trip with him, and one of his classmates said to me one day, said, Mr. Kenneth, what is it like being a preacher? I said, it's wonderful. It's the greatest work in all the world. And it is, for the most part. I enjoy my work. I enjoy trying to help people. And I enjoy preaching the gospel. I enjoy pastoring. But you know, many times in my life, I've gotten so caught up in what I was doing. I say today with a heavy heart, there have been times I have neglected my wife. I've neglected my children. Did you know the Apostle Paul, when he wrote the New Testament, he wasn't married. Now, some will argue today that at one time Paul was married. I'm not going to debate that issue, but really when he wrote the New Testament, he wasn't married. But did you know it's interesting, the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 9, Paul said that he had the power to lead about a wife. You know what he was saying? He had the right to be married. And also, if you read 1 Corinthians chapter 7 and 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and compare that language, Paul is saying, if you are married, you have a responsibility to your spouse. And if you have children, you have a responsibility to those children. Now, my wife is not one of those women that's high maintenance and she whines and complains all the time. My wife's not like that, and I thank God for that. But there was one time several years ago, I had been very, very busy in helping people with personal problems. I'd been at the church just about every night. And it's amazing today, no person, no family is without difficulty. But I'd been out trying to help people. And you know, I came in one night sort of late, and my wife said to me, "We need to talk." Hey, when you hear that language from my wife, I thought, something's wrong. You ever heard that, husbands? When the wife says, "We need to talk." I'll never forget it, because that didn't happen that often. She said, "I know that you're trying to help a lot of people. And I know there's people that's even got children that's got difficulty." She said, "But make sure you don't deliver their children and lose your own." I want to tell you, it hit me between the eyes. I thought, I needed that. Now, it wasn't what I really wanted to hear, but it was exactly right. See, it's so important in life, in our marriages, in our family life. It's so important that we love our mate, that we encourage our mate. Today, we're to be our mate's number one cheerleader. We're to be there to encourage and to strengthen. Today, it's not that I just want to see marriages survive. I want to see marriages thrive. And see, today, I believe when you have the proper view of God's Word and when you are applying the teaching of God's Word, it's not just the marriage will survive, it will thrive, and it will not be a place where there is friction and battle day in and day out. The home is not to be the battleground, it's to be the most safest and cherished place on the earth. To have a place where children know that they're loved by their parents and they can find a place of refuge and a place where their parents are their number one cheerleaders. Today, as parents, we have a responsibility. Several years ago, my youngest child is with me today, Jonathan. He is 18 years old. But I had made a promise to my children back when they were little, you know, that I was going to build a treehouse. Well, time went on and that treehouse didn't come. But see, those children heard that. I was busy. One day my wife looked at me and she said, in a very sweet, loving way, she said, "The children are going to be grown, and they're not going to have that treehouse." Let me tell you, I heard it. I said, "I promise you, we're going to have that treehouse. We got the treehouse." You know, it's easy to neglect our responsibilities in the home. I'm not trying to put a guilt trip on anybody. But I'm just saying, from my own perspective, as I look on my own life, look in the past and look now, I think it's so important that we not neglect those responsibilities and privileges in the home. We can't go back and relive the past, but it's never too late to start doing what's right. We were at the beach back in the summer. I love the beach and love spending time with the family. We do that every year. But we were there in our beach attire, reading books and just enjoying the beach. And I looked up and I saw this man coming down from the area where the motels were. And he didn't have on his beach attire. He was dressed like I'm dressed today, with his shoes. And he, I thought, well, surely when he gets close to the water, he's going to stop. Well, he didn't. He began to walk right on out in the water with his shoes, with a suit, tie. looked over at Ann, I said, look. Well, she's more spiritual than I am. I said, he must be on drugs. I mean, this is mid-afternoon. She said, I bet he's been away from his children and his wife, and he's just returned home from a business trip, and he wants to see them. I said, well, maybe that's it. I don't know. I really don't know why he was dressed up and walking out in the water. Now, he didn't go very far, but his shoes were covered with water. Don't understand that. But anyway, I thought, something must not be intact at home. He's either guilty about something. But anyway, I told that at the church a while back, and one of my real spiritual members said, well, maybe he was going out to baptize somebody. I said, no, he wasn't going out to baptize anyone either. I said, I watched long enough. That wasn't it. But you know, I think sometimes if we're not careful, if we neglect some of those responsibilities, while we have those responsibilities and privileges, there may be a time we look back and we wish we had it to go over with. I'm saying this morning, I really don't know this congregation that well. So I can preach these things and nobody can say, well, he's preaching that because I'm here. I'm just trying to preach God's word and trying to help you in your Christian walk. Peter says in this passage, I don't want to neglect those things, bringing them back to your remembrance. He says, moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be able after my decease to have these things always in remembrance. Verse 16, for we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. The apostle Peter is saying that he did not want to neglect reminding them, even right on up to his death, concerning these wonderful things contained in the Word of God. Now, Peter talks about an experience when he was caught up, or he saw the Lord transfigured. When Christ was transfigured, Peter, James, and John were present. In some inexplicable way, the glory of Christ did shine forth, and Peter, James, and John were present when Christ was in that glorious experience. And, of course, Peter spoke up, and Peter said, it's good for us to be here. He says, let us make three tabernacles, one for Moses and one for Elijah and one for thee. But then Moses and Elijah, they disappeared. It was only Christ. But the point I wanted to get at, Peter had this wonderful experience. Can you imagine what an experience that was that Peter had? See, Peter tells that, and then he says to these that he is writing to, we have a more sure word of prophecy. What could be more sure than an eyewitness account? Can you imagine how it was for Peter to be on that mount when Christ was transfigured? What an experience that was. But yet he says in this writing, in verse 19, we have also a more sure word of prophecy, wherein do you take well that you take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. He says we have a more sure word of prophecy. We have the inspired word of God. What a blessing that is. What a blessing it is to have God's word in our language. What a blessing it is to have the church in the earth. My friends, the church is a great, great blessing. And what a blessing it is to be a part of the church. What a blessing to hear and to understand the gospel. What a blessing it is when your heart's been touched by the gospel and you feel, yes, God loved me even when I was unlovable. That is one of the greatest treasures we'll ever have in this earth. Sometimes it's so easy to maybe take the Word of God and take the gospel for granted, take the ministry for granted, thinking, well, we'll always have the gospel. We'll always have the Word of God. It'll always mean something to me. Did you know that I have actually seen people in life begin to neglect spiritual things? Maybe neglect the reading of God's Word, neglect the study of God's Word, neglect the attending of the worship services. You know, sometimes at home, people don't always realize how it's little by little that we drift from spiritual things. You begin to not read the Word of God, not pray, not go to the house of God, and your heart can become cold and indifferent. I've actually seen people that this world had such a grip upon them that later in life they become so cold and so indifferent that they no longer had that glowing zeal for the things of God. It's a tragedy to me. Did you know it's a blessing today if you've had the blessing of hearing the gospel and your heart's been touched and having the desire to be baptized? We've been blessed at Mount Gilead recently to baptize several in the last several months. It's been such a great delight. Some have only started attending in the last few months, the last few years. It's been such an encouragement. My friends, there are people that are searching for the truth of God's Word. They're not wanting to be entertained. They want to hear God's Word expounded. They want something that will help them in life, something that will give them strength to face the many challenges. They want to know how to rear their children, how to make their marriage thrive. They want those things that will bring honor and glory to God. What a blessing it is to be a part of the church in the earth. Did you know in the Old Testament, in the book of Haggai, it was a time when they were rebuilding the temple and the house of God. But these people in that day, they stopped building. And God says through the prophet, it's some very strong language, but he says in verse 2 of Haggai chapter 1, he says, "Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying," notice the language very carefully, he says, "this people say," God says, not my people. They had drifted so that he says, "this people say, the time is not come." You know, we can make excuse after excuse after excuse, can't we? While we don't serve God as we ought to. And you know, Satan is always there to give us an additional excuse. He says, "this people say, the time is not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. Then came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet, saying, is it time for you, O ye, to dwell in your sealed houses, and this house lie waste? Now therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Ye have sown much and bring in little. Ye eat, but ye have not enough. Ye drink, but ye are not filled. Ye clothe you, but there is none warm. And he that earneth wages to put it into a bag with holes. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways." That's strong language. But he's talking about the things of God. Where is God today in your life? Heard about this lady that had two sons, and they were somewhat mischievous and going through a rough time. And she was telling one of her friends about it. And she said, I'll tell you what I did. I went down to the pastor, and the pastor talked to my son. And she said, okay, I think I'll do the same. So she took her two sons down to the pastor, and one of them went on into the pastor's office, and the other stayed out in the vestibule. And the little young man, the young man was sitting there, and the pastor came in, and the young man just looked around at all the books, and he saw all those many volumes, and the pastor came in and sat down in his desk, and the pastor looked at the young man, and he says, where is God? Young man didn't say anything. He asked him the second time. He says, where is God? Young man didn't say anything. He asked him the third time, where is God? And this time the young man jumped up. He ran out into the vestibule. He grabbed his brother. He says, they've lost God and they're trying to blame it on us. Well, what the pastor was trying to say was, where is God in your life? You see, where is God? Young people today, in making decisions, where is God in your decisions? I tell people at home, the second most important decision you'll ever make in this life, other than your commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ, is the person that you're going to marry. But see, where is God in our decisions? Where is God in how we live in this world? Sometimes, see, we compartmentalize life. It's like we go to church, and then when we leave church, we're through with church until we come back to church. My friends, God is to be a part of our life every day that we live. His Word. Yes, when we're baptized, that is identifying us with the glorious truth that our hope is in the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Don't you believe that here this morning? Don't you believe today that Jesus Christ came once in the end of the world? He came to make a sacrifice. He came to do for you that you could never have done for yourself. By one offering, He has perfected forever them that are sanctified. He didn't come to offer salvation. He didn't come to make salvation a possibility. He came to procure salvation. He says in the book of Matthew chapter 1 and verse 21, she shall bring forth a son, thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. The gospel says he did exactly that. Jesus Christ accomplished what he came to do. He came to redeem. He redeemed his people from their sins. One day, every one of God's children, without the loss of one, will live with him in glory. Is that your hope today? Have you been baptized? At home, we've had some for many, many years. They've held on and not followed the Lord in gospel baptism. It's a blessing. It's a privilege to be identified with the local church. I had a couple that heard me preach at a place several years ago, and they enjoyed what they heard, and they began to attend our congregation and been attending now for the last, 3 years, I believe it is. But a while back, they came to me and they said, Brother Kenneth, we'd like to be a part of Mount Gilead. We enjoy that congregation of people. They've been active in a large church there in our town, our city. And I told them, I said, we'd love to have you to be a part. They wanted to visit with me. I went to their home and we had a wonderful conversation. And they were not trying to do anything that would hurt the congregation where they were leaving. And I told them, I understood that. And I told them, I said, I'm not saying that you haven't been blessed in that congregation and you haven't been a blessing. But I want to say, we'd love to have you. If that's your desire, you come and be baptized and be a part of our local assembly at Mount Gilead. They did that the next few weeks, and they're a great blessing to us, and I trust we are a blessing to them. My friends, today it is a blessing in this world to serve God. Don't neglect that. Today, maybe you've neglected confessing Christ before men for many a day. And maybe Satan has given you one reason after another. I would say in closing this morning, neglect not that. Serve Him, put Him first, and be identified with this wonderful body of believers here at Camp Creek. I thank you for your real good attention, and may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all.